Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Network Cloud Podcast. I'm your host, Glory Onoha, Client Success Manager of Network Cloud Nigeria. And I have a special guest here with me today. I'm going to let her introduce herself.
Hi, Glory. It's nice to meet you. Hi, everyone. My name is Irene Agu. I am the founder and CEO of Rivi. Rivi is a travel tech startup operating out of Nigeria that's basically targeted at improving the lives of global natives. I'm also the global head of marketing at Fuzu. Fuzu is an African-focused talent tech startup.
Okay. Very nice to meet you, Irene. Thanks for doing this with me today. Just get right into it. So today we're going to be talking about how to improve brand perspective and build a memorable user experience. I know I shared this topic with you before we started recording, but when you heard this, what came to mind first?
So I think for me, when I hear brand perception, it's how do people perceive your brand? It's what do people think? What do people feel? What do people envision when they hear about your brand? So I thought that, you know, it'd be a very interesting topic to talk about, and I can't wait to delve into it.
All right. Okay, let's go and get straight into, just like you said, the brand perspective. So if I'm about to have a startup, I'm about to start a company, what do I want to know me as? What is that image I want to put out there? So I'm just going to get right up asking the very first question. What role does user play when it comes to sorry, give me a minute. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, so the first question is, what role does user experience have to play within marketing?
So I think user experience is a very important part of marketing because it basically affects your conversion and retention rates. So you can't get users, you can't convert them, and you can't retain them if you have a bad user experience. You think about what makes a product successful, it's three things. It's one, what the product is. So it's what are you offering? What do people have to gain from it? What's in it for the user? There's the user experience. It's how do people experience your brand when you're using your product? What is the feeling that they get from it? What is the experience that they have off the brand? And then finally, there's promotion, which is, you know, how do you get your product in the faces of the people that matter?
Okay, so basically, if I have a new product launching, I have to take into consideration as a product owner, if I'm to launch this product, put myself in the shoes of the user, let me use that word, right? As a user, yeah. Am I going to be able to navigate through this product? Am I going to enjoy the UI and the UX of this new product? Is it something that I would have difficulty navigation if it's a website, if it's an app? So I have to sit down, think as the user before I decide to put out my product out there, if I get you correctly.
Yeah. But one more thing to add is that people tend to think of user experience as just on platform, right? User experience is both on and off platform. So if you think about the fact that after creating your actual UX on the platform, anybody that comes to interact with your brand will build experience from the channels that they're interacting with you. So if, for example, I'm trying to reach out to you via social media, via live chat, I'm not getting any response, that's an experience, right? That's a negative experience. If I reach out to your customer service agent and, you know, they can't help me out, that's a negative experience. If I see your brand talking outside and, you know, it doesn't feel like they're talking the way I think a brand of that caliber or like a brand of any kind should talk, that's like a negative experience. So there are so many touch points when it comes to user experience.
Okay, so let me ask you one more question now. So I'm a client success manager. So here at Netcore, we have an omnichannel marketing platform that helps you communicate with your clients both on email, websites, and app, right? So we have the email, we have the web push, we have web messages, we have app push, we have in-app. So you have a 360 view of how your clients are relating to your product. So let's take, for instance, I have an e-commerce brand, right? And I have people coming to my website, adding to cart. They're not really checking out. So you're saying everything is an experience, right? I have people, and I have a customer that has probably added to cart in the last 3 days, has not checked out. So the way I communicate to try to get that client to check out and buy with me, it's that's a way of building a very good user experience too, right?
Exactly.
All right. Okay, so that leads me to my next question. As a brand, what should I aim to be known for?
So the thing is, for every brand, it's different, right? One thing that's important is that you have to let the market lead you. You have to let the people lead you. Because what Netcore should be known for is different from what, like, as you said, an e-commerce brand should be known for, right? So I think to help you arrive at the answer to that question, there are a couple of questions that you need to ask yourself as either a brand owner or someone in senior management. You need to ask yourself, one, what does this product do, right? When you ask yourself, what does the product do? A thing that people fail to do is look at it from the point of view of the consumer. We always say, oh, this is what we're doing for you. Right. The question is, what does the consumer actually think that you're doing for them? What is their translation of your service? Right. After that, you then have to ask yourself, okay, if this is what the consumer says I do for them, right? What is their, like, how does their experience within the brand translate? Right. So it's when they're using your product or when they're using your platform, where do they lean more towards? So you can create, for example, a savings app and you think, oh my God, I'm helping people save for, you know, building a house, buying a car, or like I'm helping people do target savings. But then you realize that that's not what people want, right? Maybe what people are using your platform mostly for is a wallet that they can actually track their transactions without any charges, right? Mm-hmm. So money is not missing. So that's what you then become to that consumer set. Another thing is, when you also think about like the life stage of the person that you're targeting, what a brand was to me 3 years ago is not what they are to me now. It might be the same brand, it's just they've evolved or I've evolved my perception of them, right?
Yeah.
So you also have to figure out, okay, who are the people that I'm talking to? What life stage are they in? What are their key motivations? How do they use this brand? How do they use other brands within this category? And that sort of helps you figure out, okay, this is what my brand should be. This is who I should be to this person.
Yeah. Hello.
Yes.
Okay, so Rata, I lost you there for a bit. Okay, so I get where you're coming from. So this is even what I like to preach to my customers, right? Let's tell them, know who you're talking to.
Mm-hmm.
And know how to communicate with them, know the right channel to communicate with them with, and know when to communicate with them. As a brand, like you gave an example, you think your customers are here to save and all that, maybe they're just here to see how they can, you know, do like seamless transactions without having to, you know, pay charges and all. So somebody that is a new customer coming to, has onboarded for the very first time, what is that impression? What is the impression you're going to give to the new customer versus somebody that has been with you for a period of, let's say, 2-3 years? What are you offering that person? How do you build retention with this person? How does the person know that, okay, if I see an email coming from somewhere, I know who is talking to me. I know that, oh, these people are not scammers. I know my brand. I know my bank. Or I know my ticket. So what you give to new customers and what you give to existing customers, I think it should be different, right? For existing customers, you're trying to, they already know your brand, but you're trying to retain them. For new people, you're trying to build new trust, right? Mm-hmm. To make sure that they get to the point where you're now striving to retain them.
Yeah.
All right, so now my next question. What are the common pain points, you know, that companies face when it comes to brand building?
So when it comes to brand building, I think, like, as you said, there's that problem of figuring out, like, one, what is my brand, right? There's a problem of figuring out, how do I get people to actually pay me money for whatever it is that I'm doing? How do I get people for them, right? Then you move on to, okay, I've gotten some people. How do I keep these people? How do I monetize these people? How do I get these people to trigger a network effect and bring in other people? Because remember that every business has limited resources. You cannot spend all the money in the world trying to get people. So it then means that you need to start figuring out smarter ways to, one, attract guys, convert them, retain them, and then monetize them. And that's like a cycle that keeps giving because it never actually ends. So I think that across the main points of the consumer life cycle, that's where brands have issues like with brand building.
Okay. So I hear you. Okay, let me come from this angle. So for people that have eventually gotten to know my brand, to understand my brand, I like to say you are not the only person offering that service out there. There are other people doing what you are doing, right? So everybody's striving to make sure that they are topping their competitors. How do I ensure that people that are already with me, that understand my brand, do not wake up one morning and realize that I don't think I'm even getting enough from these people, how I want to leave? I think that's also a pain point, right? In brand building. So how do we get people that are already with us? You know, how do we build this retention and make sure that it's sustainable?
So one of the most striking brand positioning that I have seen or heard about is one brand that basically talked about becoming useful, right? So for them, it wasn't, we want to be the number one, we want to do this. Where they were trying to go was they wanted to be the brand that is useful. Since I had it, it's basically become like the cornerstone of a lot of things that I do. Because the honest truth is, when you're no longer useful to me, I will move on to a different brand. Now, when it comes to retention, I like the fact that you've talked about competition, right? You've talked about like every other person doing the same thing that you're doing, which is one thing I realize a lot of founders forget. You're not the next coming of Jesus Christ. You're not the next best thing to sliced bread.
Yes.
So when you're looking at retention, I think that one thing you need to do is look at competition away from your immediate competitive landscape. So people tend to think, oh, I'm a bank. My competition is a bank. Your competition is not a bank. Your competition basically is all the fintech brands that are out there. You see those, what do they call them? Ajo people that people are putting their money in. That's your competition. Yeah. You have a lot of competition. So your question should then be, if this client is not giving me their money or their time, where are they spending it, right? What is the reason that they are spending that money and time there instead of here? Right? Or what is the reason why these other people are being considered as competition to my brand? Right? Then you need to figure out, okay, how do I take the best parts of this? Or how do I better highlight the best parts of my business for these guys? How do I remain useful? How do I remain relevant? Now, when you answer that question, so for example, think of an e-commerce brand. E-commerce brands basically do one-off sales, right? And for a lot of brands, they forget that, you know, a customer can become a repeat customer. But the most successful e-commerce brands are the ones that have found ways to remain useful to the people. They found ways to, one, gain the trust of the person in the first place. Then they continued messaging the person, but not so much that it became like they were trying to strangle the person. They continued finding like better ways to, for example, serve ads to these people. So I don't always have to send you an email to put my products in your face, right? I can just use the data that I have gathered and other search engines or like ad managers have gathered from you to make sure that I'm always serving you with useful content at every point in time. That's the reason
why content that is also useful to you. Because I'm so sorry to cut you short because this is something that we also practice here at NetCode. This is something called segmentation. So am I sending you something that is useful to you? Okay, let's give an example. Somebody that has a whooping sum of 100 million in his bank account, and you're telling the person that you can come and get a loan of 100,000 naira, it's not useful to that person.
Yeah.
Right? So this is where segmentation comes into place. In as much as you're trying to be useful, you should also consider sending the right communication to the right people. People that, if I send you this thing, I know that it's useful to you. I know that this is what you want based on what my data is telling me, based on your past behavior with probably my website or my app. I know that this is what you want. So this is the kind of communication I should send to you. And now we also tell our clients here is, now what channel should I communicate to these people to? Should I use email? Are they opening their emails? Are they not opening their emails? Would they prefer to be communicated to the website channel? Maybe they go there and they see a web message or they see a web push. So I sort of get where you're coming from.
Yes. It's very important to ask those questions, because if you don't, what will happen is you basically be shooting blanks in the air, hoping that one of them hits something. And that's not a very effective way to work.
Yes. Okay, so now how do you build a memorable user experience? I know that you are currently the CEO and founder of, am I pronouncing it, Revy?
Yes, Revy.
Yes. All right, so how do you build a memorable brand experience for people that are your customers?
So if I look at what we do both at Revy and at Fruzer, right? One thing that we realized is, remember this thing that you said about Netcore figuring out where the customers are and how they like to be reached, right? For us, we try to figure out what the key touch points are. So look at Fruzer, for example. We know that everybody that's coming in is either coming in A, via search engines, B, via the website, C, via social media. Like, it's stuff like that you do, right? With Revy, I do the same thing. It's, where do people find me? Where do people find my brand? Where are people most likely to interact with the Revy brand? Now, when I look at that, right, we then have to figure out, what is the best way to drive conversion on these channels? Because remember that the first thing I want to do is acquire guys, but then I also want them to convert. And if you look at most pages or most websites that you go to, you're not immediately driven to create an account not that the website isn't driving you. You yourself are not personally driven to create an account because you don't know these people yet. So the question then becomes, how do I build like an image of me that will make you say, okay, these guys seem interesting. I'd like to follow them. I'd like to, follow their account. I'd like to sign up. I'd like to create an account. Or maybe I'd like to add to cart because this product seems interesting. That's in the case of the e-commerce brand that you mentioned.
Yeah.
When you identify these touch points, you then have to figure out, what is the messaging that goes into those places? How do I look? How do I feel? How do I speak? Then you move into, now, what do I offer people at these different points in time? Am I pushing too much? Because a lot of people push too much. You cannot be pushing me at my first interaction with your brand to become a loyal customer. That's not the way that it works. Nobody needs somebody.
Some people actually think, I have to be in their faces all the time so that you do not forget me.
I really hate you. I remember. Okay. You said you're what?
No, I was just saying that people have that knowledge that, somebody just signs up, you're a new customer, I send you a welcome message, I tell you about our channels, I tell you about our products, I tell you about, I just keep on telling you so you have an idea of what we are doing. I don't want to lose this customer because, like I said, people like to say, there's a competition out there. Somebody else, if I don't send you this now, somebody else will send you this now. So, I don't know what is then the right thing to do. Should I do this one step at a time, or should I just tell them, give them all the information immediately?
Honestly, take it one step at a time. I don't want to know your mother's grandmother's surname or the first name. I just want to know that you're cool enough to become my friend. Later,
and build talking, that trust, like you said.
Exactly. But I think people forget that the people they are serving are humans. People are hearing a lot outside. You're being blasted with ads everywhere. You're blasted with content everywhere. With the rise of channels like TikTok content variations like Instagram Reels, it means that you're basically consuming a ton of content. And you still want to come and be sending me emails as a brand every single day. That's not a great thing to do. Like, it doesn't work for me. So the question then becomes, how do you remember that? As a human being, my question is you yourself. Do you open those emails when they send it to you?
Yes, true. True. Yeah. I get it. And most of the time, people don't even get those emails. Those emails come to them and they don't even know that somebody has even sent them the email, and you don't know whether this email is even useful to you. Because I've had a lot of people say, I've been sending people emails, my open rates are dropping, people are not opening, I'm sending once every day, I'm sending twice every day, or I'm sending twice a week and all that. And I like to tell them about trying to use AI features like we offer here in NetCore. So there's something we call the send time optimization. So how that works is, you're sending emails to people, but you're sending to them at their preferred time. And this works in like a 24-hour window. So if I send an email now, this is 12:26. That will run from 12:36 today to 12:36 tomorrow. So for 24 hours, people will get at their preferred time. If my preferred time is at 2 p.m., I'll get it at 2 p.m. And most likely, once I see your subject line and I think that this is something I'm interested in, I'll open your email and I'll communicate with you. I will interact with you. If your preferred time is at 10 a.m. the next day, you will get yours at 10 a.m. the next day, because this is artificial intelligence power. We know your preferred time, we can predict. And then for people that we cannot predict, we just do like a general blast. So I usually advise people, for things that are not urgent, use this to send people email, don't bombard them. But if it's something that needs to go out urgently and that information that you think people need to see immediately, please go ahead and do a general blast.
Direct blast. Yes, I completely agree. I think AI driven platforms are making like marketing so much easier for people. I love the fact that NetCore actually offers that service, because a lot of people forget that if you're reaching me at the wrong time of the day, if you're reaching me at the time when I'm thinking of bathing, I'm not going to be paying attention to what your email says. So you have to reach me at the time that's good for me. We do the same thing at Hulu with our platform, because for us, it's like, how do you use AI to match people to employees that will fit the business, the culture, all of that. So I think AI is actually like making marketing a lot more easier for brands.
Yes, it is. It is. So just to summarize everything we have talked about today as a brand. Sorry, one more question before I even jump into summarizing. What do you think about brands picking up on trends and trying to implement it in their business? What do you think about that?
I think it's interesting when it's done right, right? I get tired when it's not done right, because what then happens is every single brand just uses one trend. There was one that was raining recently in Nigeria. I can't remember what it was, but I remember tweeting about it because I realized that every brand, oh yes, chopping breakfast. Brands didn't realize what to do. And one brand said, we will serve you breakfast. And I'm like, that's a bad thing. It means you will break my heart.
You break my heart.
See, we're trying to build trust. So it's like, you need to understand the trend. And not every trend is for every brand. So you don't always have to be like at the forefront of the trend wagon. Sometimes it will work. Sometimes it will not work.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming in. Do you have any final words, conclusions?
Thank you too. It was really nice to be here. I think that these are conversations that we need to keep having, because it's important that a lot of people sort of get support when it comes to building their brands, or when it comes to identifying the best platforms to grow their brands. There are different aspects of a business, right? So there are different aspects of brand building, but conversations like this will always help people figure out the best way or what will work like best for them. So I think NetCore Cloud is doing a great job. I cannot wait to see more of your episodes, and I'm always listening in.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on. So I just also want to add to what you've just said right now. As a brand, try to understand your customer's journey from start to finish, from when they onboard to when they start transacting with you all the analytics you can get, all the data you can get on the customer, both offline and offline, try to understand this customer journey. And then from your data, implement effective communications that will make this customer trust you. And you can now build a reputable and a, you know, loyal brand customer. So thank you so much, Irene, for coming up. I really enjoyed this. I've learned a lot from you, actually, because I had this idea that some people like to, you know, be in the face of their customers, but now you've just given us a breakdown that it is actually better to do it a step at a time. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you.
Yeah, bye.